Today, we'd like to see the title, Live in the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. Before starting today's Bible study, I want to suggest the three questions. Number one, what does liberty mean in verse 13? Number one, what does liberty mean in verse 13? Question two, why is the flesh lust against the spirit in verse 17? Why is the flesh lust against the spirit in verse 17? The last question in verse 25, what does live in the spirit mean? What does live in the spirit mean? Galatians was written by disciple Paul. Disciple Paul accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in the Damascus, in the book of Acts chapter 9. After accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, or after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, he spent for 3 years in Arabia and Damascus. So he spent 3 years. During 3 years, he received the gospel of grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of grace? In order to be saved, only requirement of your faith alone is required. So, in order to save, whether or not you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you say yes, you are saved. So it does not require any work of Mosaic law, such as a circumcision requirement or any other law. It does not require, only require faith alone. So that's called the gospel of grace. Grace means freely, unmerited given favor. So freely, which means God does not require anything from you, so given favor. So God does not require from you any merit at all. So God does not require your labor, your money, your good morality. It really doesn't matter. 100% comes from God. That's grace. So in order to be saved, only your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is required, not requiring any Mosaic law, such as a circumcision. So then, 7 years he spent in Tarsus, the city of Tarsus. Tarsus is a disciple Paul's hometown. He spent in Tarsus. Then Barnabas called disciple Paul in order to teach the church members of Antioch. So disciple Paul taught the Bible at Antioch. So Antioch Church is the disciple Paul's home church. So after 10 years, after accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, the 10 years after he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, disciple Paul started to minister to the law. So today here, verse 13 says, for you, brethren, disciple Paul sent this letter to Galatians church members. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but do love, serve one another. So first question, what does liberty mean in verse 13? So liberty, disciple chapter 5, verse 1 says, then liberty stand fast, or stand firmly. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, verse 1, basically, disciple says, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so you are free from the bondage of a sin. So you are not under the power of a sin. Or you are not, you will not be dead forever, but you are alive. So Jesus Christ was a death with bloodshed to cleanse away your sin, then Jesus gave liberty upon your face. So this liberty comes from Jesus Christ. So in order to get that liberty, depends upon you or faith, whether or not you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, which means all things, you can do that. All things are lawful for me because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ gave you liberty. So you can do whatever you want. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, or not all things are useful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So what does it mean? So for example, you can do whatever you want if you make a bad word to your brother or your sister in Christ. So obviously that word is not helpful. Also that word not building up the body of Christ rather than destroying the body of Christ. So that's why not all things edify. Edify means build up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12 says, all things are lawful for me. Whatever I want, I can do it. But all things are not helpful or are not profitable or useful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The power of any. What does it mean? When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you got liberty from any power. So, but you are under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you commit a sin, you are enslaved to that particular sin. For example, the use of drugs, you know, the illegal drugs, like marijuana, you know, a lot of drugs. So, that moment, you are bound to that drug. So, certain point, without work, you could not live. So, you are seeking for that drug continually. Because that drug becomes your master. So, here, okay, I will not be brought under the power of any. So, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, not under the power of anything else. Then meaning, so only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Human being has three parts. One is separate flesh, spirit and the soul and flesh. So we know that spirit and soul is hard to be discerned. But the Bible says in order to separate spirit from soul, that the word of God is necessary because the word of God is a discerning. So human being is called as inferior Trinity. God is just a Trinity. God the Father and Son of God and the Holy Spirit. So that is a Trinity. But human being has an inferior Trinity. The spirit, soul, and body or flesh. So the soul controlled by spirit. That's called spiritually minded. If a soul controlled by flesh or body, that's called fleshly minded. So here, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, which meaning you do not, you shouldn't exercise your liberty given by the Lord Jesus Christ as an opportunity for your fleshly lust, such as right here, ambition, sexual ambitions, or envy, drunkenness, revelries, heresies, envy, murder, no such thing. So, but through love, serve love one another. So love is agape love. So when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so the God gives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's fruit is agape love. So with that love, serve one another. Other or more, you should exercise that liberty to serve one another. As says so. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Which is one word? Right here. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because, for example, if you love your neighbor, you wouldn't lie to your neighbor, or you wouldn't steal your neighbor's things. So that's why the love is a high standard of law. The love your neighbor, that's a high standard of law. So Jesus said the greatest commandment. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. You know that in Good Samaritan example. So one lawyer asked the Lord, said, so what is written in the law? Said, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? One lawyer came to the Jesus Christ. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That time Jesus said to that lawyer, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So the lawyer answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Basically, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That's the first greatest commandment. Second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. So basically, this commandment is including all other Mosaic law. Because if you love your neighbor, you shall love cheat your neighbor, you shall love steal your neighbor, or you shall not murder your neighbor. So that's why the love law is in high standard. So, and Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Then the lawyer asked the question, who is my neighbor? Basically, Jesus gave an example. One guy was stolen, so he or victim was happy there. So then priest came down that road, and when he saw the victim, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where the victim was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, his own donkey, took out two denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So, which of these three? The one is a priest, the other Levite, the other one certain Samaritan. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him fulfilled among the believers. And lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So the Samaritan is not Jewish people. Samaritan is a Gentile. So right here, Samaritan is a neighbor to the victim. So Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So neighbor is everybody. Neighbor is everybody. How can we love your neighbor? So the best love to unbeliever, you should deliver gospel to him or her. So he, she, or he might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming believers or Christians, then he can have a different life. So this is the greatest command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So some Christians love in a critic. The critic is not the biblical, because the critic is destroying the body of Christ. So in order to avoid the critic heart, first of all, you should find the divine strong point in your brother and sister in Christ. That moment you see your brother and sister in Christ is a weak point. At that moment you might give rejoice in Jesus' love to him or her. So rather than critics. So the exhortation really edifies the body of Christ with your brother and sister in Christ. Then, verse 16, I say then, work in the Spirit. So, work in the Spirit, which meaning, live in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit, which means the fullness of the Spirit. In, I am. I am the preposition is within. So, in the fullness of the Spirit. Otherwise, no, without the lust, fleshy lust. So work in the Spirit, which means mortify your flesh, lust, then be full of the Holy Spirit. So live in the Spirit, work in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the lust of the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. So verse 17 says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Why? Why the flesh lusts against the Spirit? So the flesh lust might be cooperating with the Spirit. So why not? So then he's talking about Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Disciple Paul explains there. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 13, basically explains there. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So basically talk about, if you live according to flesh, your mind is full of the things of the flesh. But if you live according to the Spirit, your mind full of the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's the reason. The carnal mind is enmity or enemy or rebel against God. So for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Can be meaning indeed cannot be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we know that, you know, decide Paul, the book of Romans chapter 7, last verses, and chapter 8, verse 1, basically said, decide Paul, with mind, he wants to do the law of God, but decide Paul's flesh wants to do the law of sin. So that's why disciples said, oh, I am wretched person. Who can save me from the wretched status? Then disciples said, there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. So who worked after spirit, not after flesh? So we know that the flesh lust is contrary or against the spirit. Why? The carnal mind is enmity against God. So it cannot be existent together between a fleshly mind and, or fleshly lust and the spirit minded. So that's the reason. I want to point out, you know, one point, because the believer has a spiritual warfare. Because the daily life, we are being sanctified with the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the difference between believer and unbeliever? So believers still, we as believers have a capacity to commit a sin, but we are not under the power of a sin. Why? Because upon our faith we become the children of God. Now we are under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a liberty from the power of sin. So we are following, we are working in the Spirit. So which meaning we are ready to obey the word of God in the Holy Spirit. So we are spiritually minded rather than fleshly minded daily. So also I want to point out between your what is a spiritual leading life? Spiritual leading life. Spiritual leading life does not mean emotional, you know, your feelings life. So in order to discern between your feeling life and the spiritual leading life, you should discern at the word of God. You are just waiting on the Lord's direction. So that moment you could discern between your personal feeling and the spiritual prompting or spiritual conviction. So that the word of God can discern, you know, which one belongs to God, which one belongs to your personal, you know, feelings, like that. So here, the spirit, for the flesh lust against the spirit. So which means the flesh lust is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So disciples said, if you want to do God's way, but your fleshly lust block in your heart, block the God's way direction. So that's why you cannot do that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So under the law is like a human effort. So Spirit is leading like a fruit in garden. For example, one vine. So the tree, in order to produce fruit, the tree does not work. Just naturally produces apple fruit or grape fruit or fig fruit, you know, or whatever, you know, that kind of fruit. Unlike, you know, factory work. factory worker, in order to produce a car, so many laborers worked together. So with the sweat and the labor or toil, media. So if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. So fruit is love. The Holy Spirit fruit is agape love. So agape love naturally is produced by the Spirit. So, but unlike a fleshly way, you know, personal effort, the need, you know, sweat, you know, oil, or noisy, something like that. So, you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law, or are not under the Mosaic law, which means you have liberty from the work of a Mosaic law, because the Spirit, fruit is love. So Jesus' commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, that rule is a high standard rule of God. So you don't need to keep Mosaic law. Automatically, you need to keep all Mosaic law. Mosaic law is for unprincipled people, So you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That moment, God gives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. Then the Holy Spirit is being full. As long as you are seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are right here, the works of the flesh. Flesh is adultery. You know adultery, fornication. If you see pornography, that kind of fornication, uncleanness. You may make a bad word, you know, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Idolatry means you worship, you know, other gods rather than God. So sorcery, palm reading, you know, a lot of it, the false spirit, sorcery, hatred, contention, argument against somebody, jealousy, outburst of wrath, if you make anger, you know, easily, selfish ambitions, dissensions, division, heresies, meaning other doctrines from the doctrines in the Bible. So out of those heresies, envy, brothers, wrongfully, heavily, if you make a bad word. The like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why do you practice them? If you practice of those activities, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or you are not members of the kingdom of God. So this one is also Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, also explained there. For this you know, that no fornicate unclean person, nor covetous man or severely envy man, who is an idolater. So you may worship money or power or fun, you know, rather than God. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So you live in the practice of fornication, unclean, or division, split, something like that, you shall not inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So right here, empty words meaning no truth, no the word of God. So without God's word, somebody entice you to commit the bad word or, you know, envy, strife, you know, those things, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this one to talk about that. But we as a Christian, we commit a sin. So that moment we see the Word of God, God's Word will prompt us or commit us against to repent our sin. So our sin will be forgiven completely. So that's the way we live in the faith. But if you are repenting, you are continuing to practice right here over here. Talking about Jesus Christ. Also, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit is a singular. Singular word of fruit, not fruit, sure. Fruit is singular, but the New Testament is written in Greek word. Greek word, karpos. Karpos. Greek word, masculine. Masculine is a man. The Greek word has a gender. The Greek word is a noun, like a gender, has a gender. So English has no gender, right? So not like he food or she food, no such thing. But Greek word has a gender, so masculine. Ha is a man, masculine. Karpos. Karpos is a singular. Karpos. Plural is karpai. Karpai. I is a plural. But karpos is singular. So the Spirit's fruit is a singular. What is that? Love alone. So the Holy Spirit's fruit is love. So this is as I explained earlier, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, on the cross, the bloodshed to cleanse away your sins and with the belly, which means the complete death. And third day rose again. God gives you the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit will dwell in your heart. How long? Forever. So how long? Forever. Then the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit fruit or production is like a garden production, not like a factory production. Very naturally, production is love. That's the Greek word agape. Agape love is unconditional love. It does not require any condition. Well, what does it mean? It does not require your labor, your money, or your education, your good career. It doesn't require. Only your faith. What do you say? You just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Master. That's it. That is a love. Love can be described right here. The other eight things. Joy. If the love is such as joy. Peace. Long suffering. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, which means fidelity. So faithful to the Lord, and not to other gods. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So those things. Also, love can be described in the First Corinthians chapter 13. The First Corinthians chapter 13, the love, you know, right here. Love suffers long. And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not praise itself. Which meaning, love does not pride itself. Is not perfect. Does not behave wickedly. Does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity or sinfulness. But love rejoices in the truth. So God's love, agape love, rejoices in the truth. What is the truth? Truth is the Word of God, or the Bible. The Word of God, they really rejoice in the Word of God. Bears all things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So this is talks about. So right here, Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, agape love. So, the fruit of the Spirit is agape love, so you can try and other traits. Right here, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. No rudeness, fierce or thing, such like that. Against such, there is no law. Why there is against such, there is no law? Because love is supreme law. Supreme law. No Mosaic law is against the supreme law. Like the American Constitution is the supreme law. Each state cannot be against the American Constitution law. So the American Constitution law is superior to any law. This is love. Your neighbor as yourself is superior to any law, any Mosaic law. So there is a law against the law. But those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. So upon your face, based in Galatians chapter 2, verse 27, Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. Upon your face in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So Jesus Christ lives in each of you because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh which is in the body. Right now, during the human life expectancy, life very short, like less than usually 100 years old, right? Less than. The life or physical life which I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As the Lord Jesus Christ is living in you. So really, you are not living for yourself's glory, rather than for God's glory. So that's why here it's saying, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, your sexual passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, which means if we live in the fullness of the Spirit, without the fleshy lust, let us also work in the Spirit. Work is like, daily life, moment to moment, your life, described as work, just work. Let us not become conceited or desirous of provoking one another, envying one another. So you are not envying your own glory or world glory rather than God's glory. So this one talking about that. So let's see each question. I want to give you an answer to each question. What does liberty mean in Christianity? Liberty comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ gives liberty from the power of sin or anything else. Only we are under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question 2. Why is the flesh lust against the Spirit? In verse 7. And then Romans chapter 8, 7 says, flesh lust is enmity against God. The flesh lust is enemy against God. That's why flesh lust is contrary to the Spirit. God does not allow any compromise with flesh lust. The last question in verse 25, what does live in the supreme meaning? The Bible says, live in the supreme meaning, walk in the supreme. So live moment to moment in the holy supreme. So that's it. So let's sing song all together. Blue book, page 2, number 3. Blue book, page 2, number 3.